I'm really curious about your critique of the word gender and the whole concept of gender, which levels of discourses it represents, and where is the glitch, the problem of this term?
Actually, this is not my personal critique of gender. I've been using gender a lot in my writing. I just wanted to point out some of the possibilities, potentials of misunderstanding gender. Gender per se is a kind of neutral term. It just points to differences between two sexes that are constructed actually through culture. And that's something that we know through Judith Butler's work and constructionist theory of feminism. But in fact, many people somehow mystify gender and expect that gender will resolve this difference between genders. And that's not true. Gender on its own doesn't entail any political resolution of the tension among genders, and that's how I see that this could be problematic if we understand, if we expect too much, let's say, of gender, because in fact gender is based on this differentiation between woman and man, where woman is in fact a kind of already constructed term, which is a kind of passive term, which is in fact the only term in this dichotomy that has gender. Because as we know, man usually stands for something that is universal, so that doesn't have a gender. And that's why it's asymmetrical. You know, gender as a term is asymmetrical. You have two genders, but one of them doesn't have a gender on its own, because it's more universal than the other.
I find this really problematic, what you said from the first start, when you divided gender into male and female gender. I think that especially queer theory has developed, or has been developing for past 20 years, the idea that gender or transgenderness is something that is not necessarily defined as a bipolar idea in the queer theory.
You're not right, if I can say so, because actually that's exactly where I'm coming from. I'm using this in fact description from Monique Wittig, because she is the one who said that we should abolish gender altogether, and she comes from queer theory. So you're not right in that sense that this is problematic, because that's exactly what they say, that in fact not that gender is not polarization, but they are calling for gender that would not be polarized, knowing that gender as we know it has been polarized already. So they're calling for another kind of gender, and that's where we should be careful, you know. That's why it's really important to mention one's own position when we speak, to say where we come from, why we are using all these discourses. And in fact, I was referring to this kind of not negating gender, but a kind of desire to go beyond this polarization of queer theory. And when theorists today say it's really important to know about lesbian discourse, that's exactly what they mean. They don't mean about lesbians as one group of people, but they are really referring to this maybe maybe ultimate, maybe radical, you know, kind of negotiating of gender. But I would say that it's really important to start from this position, not to expect to end there, because that's something that we have on our disposal. So we need to use it as a possibility, you know, as potentiality, as I started this talk. So that's the potentiality of gender, to abolish gender as we know it, and to look for perhaps a definition of gender that would be completely beyond this polarization of asymmetrical nature as it is today, still, unfortunately.
I could agree to some extent with that, but in fact, male members of society, they face the same kind of gender predisposition or gender stigmatization as women do, which we can see on this exhibition that many male artists are also included in the exhibition Gender Check, exactly because of that reason, because they face the same kind of stigmatization of how they have to present themselves as a... I actually like the Slovenian translation Družbeni spol of the term.
I'm always careful with saying the same, because it's never the same. Let's face it, that the male population is still kind of privileged a lot. And within the male population, that's, I agree with that, within the male population it's not so homogeneous, you know, this kind of attitude towards your own gender and your own position. So I'm sure that within male population, many men suffer because of this universalism that is assigned to them. That's something that I can completely agree. But it's not the same with women, because that's, of course, but we are talking about maybe more general position of women in society, which is not true with men. So that's how it's again asymmetry. You know? So we are talking about certain groups among male population, and I'm not talking only about homosexuals here, but also weak men, let's say, you know, feminine men, or any kind of ethnic different men, you know, with their ethnicity or class. So none of these groups can be conceived as homogeneous groups, you know. Within all these formations, there are, you know, smaller formations, let's say. So we cannot really generalize, but coming from feminist perspective, I would always say that there are asymmetries, you know, that it's never the same, the position of man and woman in society.
So if you were talking about homogeneity, now we come to the term East, and you had asked yourself in the workshop that you had, or the panel discussion, can gender speak East? Is that true? And how did you...
That. It was Can Feminism Speak East is the right title, and I actually at the beginning of the workshop in fact I objected to it, because this title referred to the post-colonial theorist Gayatri Spivak and her text Can Subaltern Speak? And when I received this, actually, at the first moment, I didn't realize that there is a kind of misunderstanding of where this term feminism should stand in this rephrasal. So I suggested to the participants of the workshop to actually make it in reverse order, to ask ourselves, can East speak feminist discourse? Because I thought that that could be more relevant for our workshop and for this whole conference, because it's not about feminism, whether feminism can speak East, but it's about East can East accept or apply this feminist discourse. But nonetheless, you can take these two different questions on board, you know, and discuss whether feminist discourse was at all accepted in the East, or whether Western feminism knew about East at all, and the East reception of feminism. And that was actually something that came through the last part of the essay of Gayatri Spivak, where she says that it's not the question is not about whether subaltern can speak, whether East can speak feminist discourse, but it's more about whether, you know, the other party can hear, can listen. So that's what we were discussing, whether there was someone listening, you know, anything about gender in the East and feminism in the East. It was more about this dialogue that I thought that this exhibition should open up, actually. And I'm not sure that it happened, because within the exhibition there were not any kind of attempts of comparative studies.
That's a problem, because it's an isolated, it seems as though this locality is from which the method of the whole exhibition and also of the symposium was that each and every one would represent their own locality from which they come, and it's the only method actually from which we can speak, that it's not too generalized and that we show the differences and the specifics of certain locality, but at the same time I think this has not been surpassed in a way that exactly what you pointed out, the term solidarity among different localities, of course representing our own differences, but at the same time show this universal interest towards each other and towards each other's contexts.
Actually, it was the question of politics of locality that I refused to answer. Exactly, not because of some universal values, you know, but because of the alliances or solidarities. Solidarity is kind of problematic term when it's taken in this general way. You know, solidarity, as I use it, comes from theory, from Chandra Mohanty and Paul Gilroy, from theories that were interested in alliances among people that do not belong to the same class, to the same race, to the same gender. So it's about solidarity that is constructed around different different belongings with similar values, let's say. So to put it maybe more clear, is about people coming from different localities, but who share, you know, similar values of gender or, you know, or ethnicity. So it's not about putting together people that are from one, you know, location or from one space, cultural space, just because they belong to the same class, but the alliances that are made internationally or transnationally. And that's something that I lack in this exhibition, that is still, as you said, isolated within one geopolitical region, as if each of these localities can speak, and with adding all these speeches, as if this resolves the problem. And it doesn't, unless you don't make these comparisons or alliances yourself. In fact, the biggest problem is that actually gender today is kind of submitted to many objections, exactly because it's a kind of depoliticized term. It's emptied out from all political tensions, and in fact it's so well accepted and promoted exactly because it undermines the political project of feminism. And feminism actually was in fact you know, the term that would perhaps help us to understand why gender is problematic on its own when it's taken as a definition.
Mm-hmm. Is gender is a neat, nice thing for everybody, and feminists are those angry women who are on the streets.
In fact, we know that actually now in academia, many departments of feminist discourses are abolished and are taken over from gender theorists, exactly because gender is a kind of easier to accept, because it's just a division in society that everybody can live with without taking on board this political project of feminism, activism. Feminism is not something that is implicit in the society, you know? It always needs to be revised and, you know, taken on board again and again. It's not assumed by the society, let's say, because patriarchy is something that is assumed, not feminism.